When I go to a store or a restaurant, I often hear the waiter or salesperson say something like, "How can I help you?" or "What can I do for you?" If they say it and seem to really want to be helpful, I am pleased, even if the place of business hasn't got what I need. I like having the person try to put herself or himself at my disposal. It is just a bit flattering if they mean it. Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" The phrasing of that question was a little different. Unlike the situation of the waiter and the restaurant, it isn't a question about what Jesus could do. He could do whatever it took. It was a question about what the man wanted from all that Jesus was able to do, which, listening to many stories of Jesus, we have already come to understand is everything. What is it that this man wants? The blind man answered, "I want to see." It was that simple for Bartimaeus. Not being able to see is an awful plight to be in. Children play a blind man's bluff game or pin the tail on the donkey to experience in a very brief dose that will go away eventually the bitter, impotent rage of not being able to see. Jesus gave Bartimaeus what he asked for, but that was only the obvious gift. He heard in the blind man's request more than he could have imagined, and he gave him more than he asked for. A man broke into a house one night. His goal was to take something small and valuable. While he was searching through the stuff, he heard a small voice, "Jesus is watching you." He stopped for a moment and said to himself, "This must be a voice from my old Sunday school days." So he continued searching. About 5 minutes later, he heard the voice again, "Jesus is watching you." He turned his flashlight to the direction that he saw a parrot. He said to the parrot, "What is your name?" The parrot replied, "Moses." The robber then said, "What kind of a silly person would name their parrot Moses?" The parrot looked up and said, "The same person who named the pit bull Jesus." In our gospel, we hear, "Your faith has saved you." Every Christian longs to hear Jesus say that. It is true that a blind person also wants to experience the miracle of sight, but the removal of a handicap is only important in this brief life. Being saved is the gift that really lasts for eternal life forever. Jesus understood the dual longing that people have. I want things to go right for me in this life. I want my handicap, my disease, or my poverty, or my loneliness, or my loved one's sorrow to be remedied. And oh yes, when I think about it, I also want to have my sin removed and my estrangement from God to be ended. In 1981, a young man came to Georgetown and St. Helens. Back then, we were in the old church down by the big tree under which now sits the credit union. The years seemed to fly. God had been good to him. He was successful, had a beautiful wife, a son, and a daughter. He was 35 years old, and everything was going his way. Then, that eventual day in November of 1981 occurred. His wife asked him for a divorce. His whole world came crashing down around him. He remembered going to Mass every Sunday after that November for over a year, as he tried to save his marriage. How he prayed to have his marriage saved. The tears would come to his eyes where tears had not been before. He promised God that he would be better, that he would change his life. But please, don't take his wife away. Our young man's marriage ended in September of 1982. His relationship with God really began on that day in September. In December, he went to confession. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." My last confession was over 10 years ago. The words caught in his throat. Tears came to his eyes. This was his forgiveness. The voice on the other side of the confessional said, "Where have you been, man?" The words were not important. This was his hurt, his God, his moment. Father, I have hurt my wife. I hurt my children. I have hurt myself. And I'm truly sorry. All of the hurt rushed forward as he cried uncontrollably. The priest came around the confessional to console him, but he had to go on. Each sin was confessed through the tears and the pain. He was forgiven, but most important, he was back. God had taken him back. He became involved in the church and also in a ministry called Beginning Experience for Divorced and Separated. He became aware that God had become an important part of his life. That young man was me. My life changed on that day that I decided to go to confession. I discovered that confession was healing, and the more you go, the more healing you get. Jesus, in his miracle stories, often answered two longings and pointed even more important fulfillment of both needs. People want things to go right for them in this life and to have the estrangement from God to be ended. People without food, they are hungry and have no likelihood of finding a meal. Aware of this power, they turn to Jesus, who does exercise his power in a way that points to a deeper kind of hunger and points to a more basic nurture and to a satisfaction that lasts. Lepers came to Jesus wanting to be rid of the disgusting and disfiguring disease that keeps them from being able to live an ordinary community life that all people want to live. They hope that Jesus will give them the gift of health that will make their bodies and their lives whole. He responds, bringing them to see that he cares about their health, about their social life, and about their participation in the deeper social life lived in communion with God in worship. A widowed mother, a father, two sisters, each grieving over the death of their beloved relatives, turned to Jesus to fix this disaster. Jesus responds by raising the dead to life. But he does something more. The miraculous reprieve from death is given as a foretaste of an even more wonderful gift of real and lasting life that his resurrection will make possible. The miracle stories can easily be misunderstood, and a lot of people seem to misunderstand them. You might think that the miracles as indications that Jesus will supernaturally take away natural problems. Whenever we are in need, we should turn to him. Well, yes, we should, and he will answer, but not necessarily in the way I want and at the time when I want it. And this taking away of our natural problems is not the point either. These miracle stories show Jesus concerned about the real physical needs that people like you and me have. He is able to do something about them. Sometimes he has done something supernatural about our natural problems. But the stories point beyond these needs to less obvious and much deeper needs. The blind man wanted to see. Jesus focused on the man's faith in seeking out Jesus. He let seeing and being enlightened take center stage, and he gave more than just sight. He enabled the man to walk in the light. The story concluded for us by an announcement of two things that happened to Bartimaeus. Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the way. Regaining his sight was a blessing for the whole of the rest of his life. But it is connected in the story with a more wonderful thing it enabled him to do. He followed Jesus on the way. Once in a while, I need reminding that the reason I have sight, the reason I have any of the blessings I have in this life, is that I may walk in the way of truth, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Today's gospel reading is an opportunity to put these things into perspective. In my story, I discovered that our diocese, confession is available almost every day, if not in your parish, then other churches very close to you. My choice became the cathedral in Austin, which I discovered has confession daily during the week before the 12 noon Mass. I invite you, or you know someone who has problems in their lives, especially if you or they have not been in some time, to go experience healing received by going to confession. Jesus will ask you, what do you want me to do for you?